The next paper will be presented by Lauren Wisk. The title of the paper is Unmet Healthcare Need Among U.S. Children and Subsequent Ambulatory Care Sensitive Utilization. Lauren is affiliated with the Department of Population Health Sciences of the School of Medicine and Public Health, University of Wisconsin-Madison. Lauren?
Hi, everyone. I'm really excited to speak with you today. This is actually some work from my dissertation at the University of Wisconsin. I'm actually have just recently started a postdoc here at Harvard, so very excited to share with you guys. You're some of the first people to hear this outside of my dissertation committee. I just want to start by saying I don't have any conflicts of interest or financial relationships to disclose, but I definitely do want to acknowledge all of the generous funding support that I've received for my dissertation work, including grants from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, AHRQ, as well as a graduate fellowship through the University of Wisconsin. So I just want to start by giving you guys a very brief background about what ambulatory care sensitive utilization is and what this means and why it's important to look at. So ambulatory care sensitive utilization is considered to be a very common proxy for inadequate access to primary health care, and that these are services for conditions that, in theory, if treated in a timely manner in a preventive outpatient setting, should be able to be properly managed, and we shouldn't see these people showing up in emergency room and inpatient wards receiving services or treatment for these types of conditions. So it's actually much more commonly used in adult populations and a little bit understudied in a pediatric population, but still very important for these children. And very few studies, in fact, have sought to specifically establish a link between prior unmet healthcare need and future preventable ACS utilization. So the objective of my study was to determine the relationship between delayed or foregone care or unmet healthcare need. I kind of use those terms interchangeably. And ambulatory care sensitive or ACS utilization among a nationally representative population-based sample of children in the United States. So for this study, I used data from the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey, so spanning from 2002 to 2010. And the MEPS, in case you're not familiar with it, it's a really fantastic nationally representative survey that's conducted annually, and it's a panel survey. So there are five points of data collection that occur over a two-year period. So I do have longitudinal in that I have 2 years of data. It's not quite as longitudinal as maybe I would like, but 2 years of data. So a new sample is collected every year and followed for 2 years. So covering this 2002 to 2010 period, I was able to include just over 36,000 children, ages 0 to 17 years, and these children are in just over 18,000 families. So my primary exposure variable that I was interested in looking at is this unmet healthcare need, and I used this variable from the first survey year, and this is the specific question that's asked of all members who are interviewed or family members who are interviewed as part of the MEPS. The question asked, in the last 12 months, was anyone in the family delayed in getting or unable to get medical care, test, treatments, or prescription medications that they or a doctor believed necessary? And every individual member within a family had the opportunity to respond either affirmatively or negatively that no, they received all necessary care. And so the variable that I used for this study actually has three different categories. So specifically, whether or not the child themselves had unmet healthcare need, whether or not the child did not have unmet healthcare need, but a family member, a cohabitating family member did, and then whether there was no members in the family that had any unmet healthcare need. And one of the reasons I chose to operationalize this variable as such is because I was interested potentially in spillover effects. So even though the child got all the care, if there was poor access for other members of the family, that might still represent a vulnerable family, and I wanted to make sure to capture that. So my primary outcome variable is ACS utilization, and I evaluated this in the second survey year, so I do have a temporal spacing between my exposure and outcome. And to capture ACS utilization, I used three-digit ICD-9 codes. So the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey has what they call event files. So every emergency room or hospital visit, people report on that, and they say it was for the following conditions, which are coded by the MEPS and offered up with these three-digit ICD-9 codes. So I use pretty standard algorithms that have been used widely in the literature to evaluate these ACS conditions and people who are seen again in the emergency room or inpatient. And the most common ACS conditions that I observed in my population were severe ear, nose, and throat infections, seizure, gastroenteritis, asthma, and pneumonia. So because we have multiple children clustered within families, and there's also a complex sampling design of the MEPS, I employed hierarchical logistic regression with family-level random intercepts to, again, account for clustering of children within families, as well as a third hierarchical level to account for the stratified cluster sample design of the medical expenditure panel survey. And I adjust for a host of child and family sociodemographic and healthcare factors, as health and healthcare factors. So just to start off with some descriptive statistics, the table on the left-hand side just gives you a little bit of an idea of the prevalence of both the exposure and the outcome that I'm interested in looking at. So unmet healthcare need was relatively had low prevalence overall for most children, with only about 3% experiencing any unmet healthcare need. And previously I discussed this idea of family spillover, and we actually see that even though most children are getting the care that they need, there's another large proportion of children, in fact 11%, that are still living in families that we could consider to have poor access because there's some other member of their family that did not receive all the necessary care. But overall, 86% of children were living in families where they were able to access care to the extent that they needed. Similarly, the outcome variable ACS utilization was also relatively low in prevalence. Only about 3.4% of children experienced any, and the majority of that ACS utilization was in the form of emergency room visits. And then looking at the comparison of ACS utilization by these categories of unmet need, we can see that children that had any unmet healthcare need did have the highest prevalence of ACS utilization, just under 6% compared to only 3.3% of those that had no unmet healthcare needs. So there's definitely a substantial increase that we see for children who experienced any delayed or foregone healthcare in the year prior to their ambulatory care sensitive utilization. So I'm going to show you my multivariable results instead of a table form in this graphical representation because I found a really interesting interaction. So just bear with me as I walk you through this graph. So if you look on the left-hand side, there's an interaction between unmet healthcare need and chronic condition status. So the graph is depicting the change in the log odds of ACS utilization. So this is still generated from that logistic regression model, but not odds ratios here. But if you look among those with no chronic conditions, there's a substantial gradient such that the more unmet healthcare need you have, whether it's within your family or the child themselves that has the unmet healthcare need, the much higher your likelihood of or your odds of experiencing ACS utilization in the following year. And these odds ratios, you can right next to them, I have the odds ratios, so you can probably see it in a form you're more familiar with. So unmet healthcare need was associated with approximately a 73% increase in the odds of ACS utilization in the following year. However, when you look at children that have any chronic conditions, the disparities by unmet need shrink substantially, such that children that have any chronic conditions are overall just much more likely to experience any ACS utilization, and the difference by unmet need is substantially reduced. And again, overall, we're seeing an almost threefold increase in the odds of ACS utilization for children who do have chronic conditions. So I just want to address some potential limitations of the study. I think MEPS is a really fantastic survey to work with, but unfortunately it is a survey and all the data is based on self and proxy report. And there are a few concerns that I have in particular regarding that. As specifically, I think there is some underreporting of unmet need in the MEPS. Some of the prevalence estimates are a little bit lower than other nationally representative surveys suggest, so I would be a little bit concerned that we're missing maybe some of the more extreme cases of families who really have the worst access to care. And similarly, traditionally ICD-9 codes come in a 5-digit form, but unfortunately the MEPS only releases 3 digits to protect privacy, and so I might lose a little bit of sensitivity when looking for my ACS condition, so there could be some potential misclassification in my outcome using MEPS data for that in these 3-digit ICD-9 codes. Additionally, healthcare is not something that's static and really easy to cleanly measure at any given point in time. There's a chronicity and interdependence of both healthcare utilization as well as expenditures. And so although I had a temporal spacing between my exposure and outcome, these really could be longer patterns of care that we see over time. So I might just be getting a brief snapshot and might not be able to adequately capture, again, kind of the trajectory and how that changes throughout time as children have, you know, worse access or how their access patterns change. So quickly, I just want to discuss some of the implications that I think my study has. I think because we see this unmet healthcare need, and unfortunately the question isn't asked such that people can specify what need that was not met, but I think that the results of the study suggest that there might be some substitution of prior, delayed, or foregone ambulatory care with emergency room and inpatient care, which is why we see an increased prevalence of these ambulatory care-sensitive conditions. And again, these are visits specifically to the emergency room and to the hospital. So if we are to assume that relationship potentially is causal, I think that reducing unmet need may in fact increase the opportunity to receive timely and appropriate preventive care, which would potentially reduce future ACS utilization. And also, it's important to recognize that oftentimes this acute care that people are receiving is more costly, and I think also has kind of implications for a feedback loop, whereas if people have worse health status because they're going in later and there's more costs, that can influence their future utilization and health as well in additional ways. And thank you very much. I'm happy to take any questions or comments. And please also feel free to contact me by email if you want to follow up. I'd be happy to chat with any of you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wisk. Are there questions, please?
So that's a great suggestion, but unfortunately, this is a standalone question, and there's no follow-up that says, what condition was this for, what was it that was, so they just say, was there any care that you had to delay or forego? There is a follow-up question that says, what's the primary reason as to why? But really, I would love to be able to do that. I think that's a really fantastic follow-up question and something that ideally would be a great thing to look at.
Please.
Right, so my first level is the child level, and then the family level. No, so my exposure was in the first survey year. My outcome was in the second. I wasn't doing a longitudinal analysis in that I was looking at cross-sectional snippets, but twice for each child. So I was looking at within children, clustered within families, and then clustered within the primary sampling unit and the strata that the MEPS uses to create a complex stratified sample.
Can you stand up, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
My voice is loud enough, I don't need to say that. So on the chronic, it looked like they were much closer together.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But these are children who have more medical needs, period.
Absolutely.
So what do you think is the explanation for that? That they are getting their needs met more effectively, even though they have.
Right, absolutely. So I think that you kind of a little bit answered the question for me, and that when you look at someone with a chronic condition, they're utilizing healthcare services probably a lot more frequently than most children, where you can maybe imagine that the average child is going in once a year for a well-child checkup preventive visit. And so an unmet need for someone who is maybe accessing care at 6 different points during the year, going from 6 to 5 is going to be very different than going from 1 to none. And when you think also about kind of the most prevalent ACS conditions, for example, severe ear, nose, and throat infections, which can be very, very common in childhood, and if not treated in a timely way in an outpatient clinic, let's say, can be very serious and necessitate an emergency room visit. So I think with chronic conditions, they're probably slightly better managed, and so if they do have an unmet need, it's probably might be slightly less drastic and that they might have other opportunities to go in and kind of have that need addressed, again, in an outpatient setting, whereas without a chronic condition, it just might be the only time that they have to interface with the healthcare system in the entire year is gone, and that can have, you know, much more striking impact on them. At least that's what I would hypothesize is potentially going on. Yes. So what the implications are for cost in the chronic, yeah.
Or I guess the role that cost plays in care being not used.
Yes. So I have a talk tomorrow where I look at the cost aspect, which I would say you should probably come because I can talk a little bit more then. But for the most part, these are actually really expensive emergency room and hospital visits, regardless of whether or not the child has a chronic or non-chronic condition. I think primarily because when you go into the emergency room, there's a lot of diagnostic tests and procedures, and the bill just can be pretty sharp. And I think regardless of whether or not the child has a chronic condition or not, just all of the things that are associated with actually going into the emergency room far exceed the cost of going to an ambulatory visit and paying maybe, you know, a $10, $20 copay and maybe having less costly diagnostic images or provider visit.
One more question, please.
I'm not sure if you mentioned before, but if there's a specific area that she's done the survey in,
so this is a nationally representative survey. So I have people in my survey from every single state in the United States, and I couldn't tell you the exact coverage as far as like zip code level, but it is nationally representative, and it's a very comprehensive sample. So I have people from every region, from urban, rural, really all across the board. This is a pretty good snapshot of the U.S. population. Absolutely. So one of the things that I did look at was things like region and urbanicity versus, so rural, and in fact, urbanicity didn't seem to make a difference for ACS utilization, at least in my multivariable adjusted models, but we actually did see that those living in the Midwest and the South had increased odds of ACS utilization compared to those living in the West, so there was some regional differences, although the urbanicity didn't seem to make as much of a difference. That's a great question.
Thank you again, Dr. Wisk.